How was your Holy Week? Pretty good? I got home late Sunday night to my private residence, and I slept until 8:30 the next morning. And then I got up and went in and made coffee and went in and sat down on my easy chair, and I didn't get up till about 12:30. So I was exhausted, but it was a good exhaustion. I was happy. But I began to think about that first Holy Week. And I want to engage your imagination. So go with me in this imaginary journey. The year is 33. Springtime. That's when Passover happened. So let's go to Passover of the year 33. The day after the resurrection of Jesus. Do you think the guys slept late? I bet they were exhausted. I mean, after all they'd been through. And I bet what they were doing was going over and over again after they were rested and going over in their heads, like going over in the family album of something really important that had happened. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Every one of you, every single one of you has one day in your life that you can remember every detail. Sure you do. Maybe it was the day you got married. Maybe it was the day your first child was born. You don't forget a thing about that day. You can probably tell me what you had for breakfast. It's that day that is imprinted on you and you go over it and it's in your family albums. And like if it's a wedding album, you get it out and you go over everything over and over again. And that's what was going on that first week. Now, here's a question. What does the church do the very first week after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, I hope they slept late on Monday morning. I'm pretty sure they did. It was an exhausting experience. I mean, just think about it. 8 or 10 days prior to that, there was no church. Nothing. There were no church buildings. There were no pews. There were no bishops. There were no priests. There were no deacons. There were no nuns. There were no Catholic schools. There were no missals. The only thing we had to read when we got together was Moses and the prophets and the writings of what we now call the Old Testament. So what did the church do the day after the resurrection, the week after the resurrection? And I return to that thing about going over the most powerful day in your life. You get out the family wedding album and you look back at the memories. So, for example, there's Mary Magdalene. Now, remember what Mary Magdalene did. Nobody saw the resurrection. Nobody saw it. There were no witnesses to the resurrection. But early in the morning, Mary went down to the tomb. And she saw that the stone had been moved back and the tomb was open. And she went in and looked in, and there's two guys sitting there. Later we say they're angels. And they said to her, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" I mean, it was a cemetery, right? "Why were you looking for the living among the dead?" And she's shocked. It's the day after the resurrection. It's 3 going on 4 days now since he was crucified. And she saw him die. And she saw him put in that tomb. Well, she's shocked and she turns around and almost bumps into this guy. And she thinks it's the gardener. And she says, "Sir, where did you put his body? Show me and I'll take it." Remember, she's in a state of shock. She got there in a state of shock. Now she's even more surprised. And then this guy she thinks is the gardener says, "Mary." And she turns to him and says, "Rabboni," which means master. When he called her name, she knew who it was. And she starts to grab him and says, "Don't touch me. I haven't gone to my father yet." Well, she turns around, goes running back into downtown Jerusalem to the upper room where the disciples are hiding behind locked doors because they're afraid. And she tells them the story. And she tells them the story. And she tells them the story. How many times do you think she told the story? Over and over and over again, she told the story. This was important. And the next day she told the story, and the next week she told the story, and it became the church's story, and nobody forgot it. And if anybody ever tried to change the order of the facts, that everybody in that little community know, no, that's not what happened. And they told the story over and over and over again. Now, Peter and John got up and went running back out to the cemetery. And when they, as they were going, John ran faster and he got to the tomb first. And then he stopped and waited for Peter. At least that's the way John tells it. And tells it. And tells it. And tells it. And tells it. What do you think could happen if Peter tried to say, "No, I outran John"? The whole church knows that John ran faster than Peter. And we hold on to that story. And we tell that story over and over and over again. And what they find? An empty tomb, just as Mary Magdalene had said. This was an important time in the church's life. The single most important day in our family history. The day of the resurrection. It changed everything. So what does the church do on the day after the resurrection? And we read in the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, that these were faithful, praying, believing Jews. They believed in God because from the Jews came all the prophecies, and they always prayed. In Jerusalem, they went up to the temple 5 times. We see Jesus going in to pray at the temple all the time. So what did they do? Just like Jesus did. And we see that John and Peter went up to the temple to pray at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on one of these days after the Sunday of the resurrection. And we see then that there was a cripple in the doorway. He'd been crippled from life. Everybody knew this cripple. He'd been there every day. Every time he went into the temple, there was the same cripple. And he's begging. And Peter and John stop. And Peter says to him, "I don't have silver or gold, but I'll give you what I got. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." And he did. "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And he did. And he clung to them like a new suit. He was with them constantly. and telling everybody what happened, and telling everybody what happened, and telling everybody what happened. He became part of the church family story. He was telling everybody what happened, and everybody knew what happened because he told everybody what happened every hour, every day. Now, because of that, John and Peter got arrested. They had been also preaching in the temple just like Jesus did. And they'd been preaching that day to about 5,000 people. And they got arrested just like Jesus did. So what does the church do the day after the resurrection? Does just like Jesus. They knew exactly what to do. Cure that cripple. Preach. Pray. That's what the church does. Now, there's a very interesting question that we're left with. Where did Jesus go after the resurrection? Kind of an important question. You know, is it like the circus came to town and circus was in town for a few days and then the circus left and we don't know where it went? Was that what it was like? Was it like this bubble that came over us that was here for a while and then left? Or was it like this giant light that came into the darkness and enlightened us for a while and then left? Really important question if you stop and think about it. And I'll tell you how the early church sorted this out. And they knew it immediately. And then I'll tell you every time if you'll sit and listen to them. Where did Jesus go after the resurrection? Into the church. He didn't go anywhere. Remember those lines in the last chapter, the last sentence in the Gospel of Matthew where he tells his disciples, go make disciples of the whole world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything I told you, I taught you. And know that I will be with you till the end of the world. And the church tells that story, and the church tells that story, and the church tells that story over and over and over again. Where did Jesus go after the resurrection? Into the church. Friday evening after Mass, we had an anointing service. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a curandero. I don't have any special powers. But because Jesus is in the church, we anointed those people. I can't forgive your sins. I'm incapable of forgiving your sins. But whenever I'm in that confessional, I remember the words of today's gospel. Whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Because Jesus never left the church. And we tell that story over and over and over again. I don't have any magic powers to turn bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus. But he does. Because he never left. Where did Jesus go after the resurrection? Into the church. We get to see him in all the sacraments. He's here. He never left. Thanks be to God.